What if I told you that the difference between mediocrity and extraordinary success isn't talent or luck, but simply a matter of magnitude? This is the revolutionary premise behind Grant Cardone's The 10X Rule, which has transformed countless lives since its publication. The book has become required reading for ambitious professionals across industries, with celebrities like Dwayne The Rock Johnson and business titans like Daymond John citing it as instrumental to their success mindset. Unlike typical self-help books that promise easy solutions, Cardone's approach demands something most aren't willing to give: massive, almost unreasonable levels of effort. But this is precisely why it works in a world where average is increasingly synonymous with invisible. The 10X rule isn't just another business strategy, it's a complete philosophy that challenges conventional wisdom about what's possible when you commit to operating at levels others can't comprehend. The 10X rule is built on a deceptively simple premise with profound implications. To achieve extraordinary success, you must set targets 10 times higher than what you think you want and take 10 times the action you believe necessary to achieve them. This isn't just about working harder, it's about completely recalibrating your understanding of what's possible. Most of us dramatically underestimate what we can achieve and, more critically, how much effort success actually requires. Think about your last major project. Did it take longer than expected, cost more, require more effort? This pattern repeats throughout our lives because we consistently miscalculate the level of action needed to break through. I've seen this play out countless times with entrepreneurs who believe their brilliant idea will catch fire with minimal promotion. They launch with enthusiasm, make a few calls, send some emails, then wonder why the world isn't beating a path to their door. The 10X approach would have them making 10 times more calls, sending 10 times more emails, and creating 10 times more content. Actions that seem excessive until you realize this is precisely what successful people do while others aren't watching. The 10X rule eliminates the dangerous middle ground where most people operate, doing just enough to feel busy but not enough to create breakthrough results. It's the difference between making 10 sales calls a day, industry standard, and making 100, 10X standard. While others are satisfied hitting quotas, 10X performers are creating new possibilities altogether. This approach isn't just about quantity, it creates a psychological advantage too. When you commit to 10X action, you develop immunity to rejection and setbacks that would derail average performers. The person making 100 calls barely notices 5 rejections, while the person making 10 calls is devastated by the same number. The beauty of the 10X rule is that it works regardless of economic conditions, competition, or industry disruption. When you operate at such extraordinary levels, you become recession-proof, competition-proof, and future-proof. You're no longer playing the same game as everyone else. You've changed the game entirely. Have you ever considered that achieving success might actually be your moral responsibility rather than just a personal desire? This perspective shift is fundamental to the 10X mindset and challenges conventional thinking about ambition and achievement. Success isn't optional, it's a vital obligation. When you stop casually waiting for success and approach it as your ethical duty and responsibility, everything changes. Most people treat success as something that would be nice to have rather than something they must create, which is precisely why they never reach their potential. Think about how we approach parenting. Good parents don't consider raising their children well as optional or something they'll do if they feel like it. They see it as a sacred obligation, something they must do regardless of convenience, mood, or circumstances. This is exactly how 10X performers approach success, as an honor, obligation, and priority that cannot be compromised. Why is success an ethical imperative? First, your success creates opportunities for others. When you build a thriving business, you create jobs, support families, and contribute to economic growth. Second, operating below your potential deprives the world of your gifts and contributions. If Elon Musk had decided to be just comfortable enough as a software developer, we wouldn't have Tesla or SpaceX pushing the boundaries of what's possible. People who don't achieve their goals often minimize success's importance as a defense mechanism. Like children who convince themselves they never wanted something they couldn't get, adults create elaborate justifications for their failures. "I don't really care about money anyway," becomes the battle cry of those unwilling to do what success requires. Even the most fortunate, successful people had to take massive action. Luck is merely a byproduct of persistent effort. Colonel Sanders famously pitched his chicken recipe over 1,000 times before someone bought it. Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky in 3 days while broke and refused to sell the script unless he could star in it. Walt Disney was ridiculed for his amusement park concept and rejected by hundreds of banks. Success isn't overnight. It results from consistent actions over time approached as your ethical duty. Failing to pursue your full potential isn't just disappointing. It's a disservice to yourself and everyone who could benefit from your success. When you reframe success as an obligation rather than an option, you unlock levels of commitment and performance that were previously inaccessible. There are 4 distinct levels at which people operate, and only one guarantees extraordinary results. Understanding these degrees of action reveals why most people never achieve their dreams despite having the capability to do so. The first degree is doing nothing, people who actively remain inactive. This isn't passive, it requires tremendous energy to stay stagnant. These individuals exhibit boredom, lethargy, and lack of purpose, spending their energy justifying their situation rather than improving it. They ignore opportunities, lose jobs through underproduction, and get overlooked for advancement. Ironically, these same people often take massive action in unproductive areas like gaming or binge-watching shows. The second degree is retreat, actively moving backward to avoid perceived negative experiences. Unlike children's natural tendency to advance and conquer, retreating is learned behavior, often from childhood warnings to be careful. These individuals justify withdrawal with statements like, "The job market is terrible, I'm filing for unemployment." They expend as much energy defending their retreat as successful people do creating success. The third degree, and most dangerous, is normal action. This creates the middle-class existence that appears acceptable but never generates true success. These people blend in rather than stand out, creating average marriages, careers, and finances. They occasionally attempt exceptional quality but rarely in exceptional quantities. When market conditions become challenging, their normal foundation crumbles. Average is merely a variation of retreat, as these individuals knowingly operate below their potential. The fourth degree, massive action, is our most natural state and creates certainty beyond any education or training. When operating at this level, you'll be labeled workaholic, obsessive, greedy, but only by those operating at lower action levels. Taking massive action means making unreasonable choices and following up with even more action. This approach will create new problems, a sign you're doing it right, and attract criticism from mediocre people threatened by your success. Consider Howard Schultz, who personally traveled the country meeting customers during Starbucks' economic downturn, or Elon Musk, who slept on the Tesla factory floor during production crises. These aren't just inspiring stories, they're examples of what massive action actually looks like in practice. The massive action approach means taking every opportunity, like an actress attending every audition regardless of preparation. Money and power follow attention, so quantity becomes more important than quality. No one will make your dreams come true for you. You must take massive action to stand out, increase your marketplace value, and generate success in any area. The middle class isn't just an income bracket. It's a mindset that keeps millions trapped in mediocrity. Despite many spending their lives trying to reach it, the middle class is perhaps the most vulnerable and restricted group in society. What exactly constitutes middle class varies widely. Some reports place it between $35,000 to $50,000 annually, while others suggest $22,000 to $65,000, hardly enough for financial security in urban areas. Even the upper middle class, 1 million plus household earnings, remains vulnerable to economic disruption, while the lower middle class, 30,000 to 60,000, constitutes a large portion of the population constantly struggling to advance. But more than income, the middle class mindset centers on getting by rather than going big, focusing on what's necessary rather than creating abundance. Most operate on credit, with little true discretionary income, despite the traditional definition suggesting they should have a third of income left after basic expenses. The middle class squeeze means wages fail to keep pace with inflation while costs for necessities increase. Consider how the middle class approaches major life decisions. They buy homes they can afford rather than creating enough income to buy what they truly want. They save for retirement, hoping it will be enough, rather than building wealth that makes retirement irrelevant. They take jobs with good benefits, rather than creating opportunities with unlimited upside. The middle class mindset is particularly dangerous because society endorses it, making it harder to recognize the need for change. We celebrate responsible choices that often amount to settling for less than what's possible. The cultural narrative praises living within your means rather than expanding your means to match your dreams. Breaking free requires rejecting average thinking entirely. Instead of asking, "Can I afford this?" ask, "How can I generate enough to make this insignificant?" Instead of seeking job security, pursue skill development that makes you valuable regardless of economic conditions. Instead of making decisions based on fear of loss, make them based on potential for growth. The wealthiest 5% control $80 trillion, while the middle class settles for comfort rather than striving for abundance. This isn't about greed, but about refusing to accept artificial limitations on what's possible for your life. The middle class is a mousetrap with cheese, promising comfort but delivering confinement. Obsession, defined as the domination of one's thoughts or feelings by a persistent idea, image, or desire, isn't a disease, but a requirement for success. You must be so fanatical about your mission that the world knows you won't compromise or disappear. Our culture has pathologized obsession, treating intense focus and commitment as problematic rather than powerful. We're taught to seek balance and avoid being too focused on any one thing. This thinking is precisely why most people never achieve extraordinary results in any area of life. Every person who achieved greatness, from Steve Jobs to Serena Williams, from Elon Musk to Oprah Winfrey, was completely obsessed with their idea or craft. Children naturally approach tasks with thorough obsession until society suppresses this fixation, making them feel their commitment is wrong rather than natural. When the obsessed finally succeed, they're no longer labeled crazy, but geniuses and visionaries. Like a fire, obsession must be constantly fueled to maintain its heat and glow. Most people take just enough action to feel like they're working, whereas the successful follow every action with an obsession to see it through to reward. Your dreams must excessively preoccupy your thoughts to ever capture others' attention. Consider how obsession manifests in practical terms. The obsessed entrepreneur doesn't just work during business hours. They're constantly thinking about growth strategies, reading industry news, analyzing competitors, and refining their approach. The obsessed artist doesn't just create when inspired. They show up daily, honing their craft regardless of mood or circumstances. The obsessed athlete doesn't just train during team practices. They're constantly improving, studying, and preparing. This level of commitment often attracts criticism from those operating at lower levels of action. You'll be called unbalanced, workaholic, or too intense. These labels come from people who cannot comprehend the level of dedication required for extraordinary achievement. When you're truly obsessed with your mission, these criticisms become irrelevant background noise. Our world would be overwhelmed with inventions and solutions if we encouraged obsession instead of judging it. Nothing great happens without someone becoming obsessed with the concept and staying obsessed while approaching each challenge as vital. Embrace your obsessions. They're not flaws to overcome, but powerful forces that can drive unprecedented achievement. When taking new actions at new levels, you'll inevitably experience fear. This isn't something to avoid, it's something to seek and embrace. Fear signals you're moving in the right direction. Most people misinterpret fear as a warning to retreat when it's actually an invitation to advance. An absence of fear means you're only doing what's comfortable, which will only get you more of what you already have. If you're not experiencing fear in your professional life, you're not growing. Consider what fear actually stands for. False events appearing real. Most of what you fear never actually occurs. It's your mind creating worst-case scenarios that rarely materialize. Fear is typically provoked by emotions, not rational thinking. When you analyze your fears objectively, you'll often find they dissolve under scrutiny. I once worked with an entrepreneur who was terrified of cold calling potential clients. When we examined this fear, we discovered it wasn't rejection he feared, but rather confirmation of his own self-doubt. Once he reframed rejection as valuable feedback rather than personal judgment, his fear transformed into curiosity. 6 months later, his business had tripled. The 10X approach requires reframing fear as a green light, signaling what you should do. Remove time from the equation, since time feeds fear. When you experience fear, act immediately rather than preparing, which is just an excuse for those who haven't trained properly. The longer you wait to address what frightens you, the more power you give it. Everyone experiences fear, but successful people use it as an indicator to determine which actions will provide the greatest return. The presence of fear often signals untapped opportunity. The business initiatives that frighten you most, speaking at industry conferences, approaching major clients, raising prices, expanding to new markets, are precisely where your greatest growth potential lies. Fear should be used to fuel your actions, not pull you away. When you feel that familiar tightening in your chest or flutter in your stomach, don't retreat, advance. Move toward what scares you with the understanding that the discomfort is temporary, but the growth is permanent. The more consistently you do this, the more your comfort zone expands, allowing you to operate at levels others find terrifying. Criticism isn't something to avoid. It's what you should expect when you start hitting it big. When you achieve substantial success, people pay attention. Some will admire you, some will want to learn from you, but most will envy you. Their excuses for not doing enough transform into reasons why what you're doing is wrong. This criticism often comes disguised as advice. Why work so hard? Or, you should enjoy life more. These comments come from people whose deficiency is highlighted by your abundance. Think about major innovators throughout history. When Galileo proposed that Earth revolved around the sun, he wasn't just politely disagreed with, he was placed under house arrest. When the Wright brothers claimed humans could fly, they were ridiculed. When Jeff Bezos suggested people would buy books online, established retailers laughed. Criticism has always been the price of innovation and success. You can't fly under the radar and expect to reach the top. Obscurity is a far greater threat to your success than criticism. If no one is criticizing you, you're likely not taking enough action or making enough noise. The 10X performer understands that criticism is simply confirmation they're becoming significant enough to notice. When my first book hit the New York Times bestseller list, competitors immediately attacked me, calling the title arrogant and questioning my credibility. Did I care? Not for a second. I had a bestseller. The criticism simply confirmed I was making an impact. What's fascinating is how criticism evolves over time. The same people who initially criticize your approach will often become your biggest supporters once your success becomes undeniable. I've watched critics transform into admirers, clients, and even friends once they realized my methods weren't going away because they actually worked. Keep succeeding, and eventually those who criticized you will admire you. What better way to retaliate against criticism than continued success? When you're operating at 10x levels, criticism becomes irrelevant background noise, drowned out by the sound of your achievements. Remember, criticism is simply the tax you pay for being remarkable. Embrace it as evidence you're on the right track, and let it fuel rather than discourage your continued massive action.
Omnipresence means being everywhere at all times, making yourself, your brand, and your company universally available and recognized. This should be your goal, not just to help one person, but to impact millions. The most valuable things on the planet are believed to be available everywhere. Think about the world's most successful brands, Coca-Cola, Apple, Nike. You can find them virtually anywhere on Earth. This isn't accidental. It's the result of deliberate strategies to achieve omnipresence. To achieve omnipresence, commit to having your brand make a footprint on the planet. Get involved with your community, attend events, write articles, and say yes to every opportunity. The higher your purpose, the more fuel for your 10x actions. I learned this lesson when under attack in my business. Rather than retaliating, I focused on becoming omnipresent. Over 18 months, I wrote 3 books, one becoming a New York Times bestseller, recorded 200-plus videos, wrote 150 blogs, did 700 radio interviews, secured national TV exposure, and posted 2,000 times on social media. The result? My business exploded. Opportunities flowed in daily from around the world. All powerful companies, ideas, products, and people are omnipresent. Practical steps toward omnipresence include: 1. Identify all available channels where your target audience exists. 2. Create content tailored to each platform's unique characteristics. 3. Maintain consistent messaging across all channels. 4. Increase frequency beyond what seems reasonable. 5. Track which channels produce results and double down. 6. Collaborate with others to expand your reach. 7. Repurpose content across multiple formats. When I first used social media, I posted twice daily, then increased to 48 times daily on Twitter. Instead of complaints increasing, we received admiration and expanded our contact base. The biggest mistake most make is being too conservative with their visibility, fearing they'll annoy people. But the real danger isn't overexposure, it's obscurity. Remember, the best revenge against critics is to make yourself so well known that every time they look up, they see evidence of your success. Build your fire so big that you incinerate everything in your path until people stand in admiration of your ability to take action. The differences between successful and unsuccessful people have nothing to do with economics, education, or demographics. Success is a skill that can be duplicated by adopting the same mindsets and actions as successful people. Successful people approach every situation with a can-do attitude, believing any challenge can be overcome. They consistently use phrases like, "We can do it," "Let's make it happen," and "Let's work it out." Even when unsure how to do something, their response is, "I will figure it out," not, "I don't know." This maintains honesty while proposing solutions rather than highlighting limitations. Where others see problems, the successful see opportunities. The bigger the problem, the bigger the potential reward for solving it. They actively hunt for problems because they know solving them brings rewards. During challenges like recessions or company shutdowns, opportunity-focused individuals stand out by seeing prospects instead of problems. Persistence, continuing steadfastly despite setbacks, resistance, and bad news, is more important than talent. It's not an innate trait, but one that must be developed.
the successful persist with 10x actions until resistance transforms into support. Rather than trying to eliminate opposition, they create so much success that any remaining resistance becomes irrelevant. The successful take risks that most avoid. Like casinos that profit because players won't risk enough to wipe them out, success requires putting something significant into the game. Most people never go far enough in getting recognized or making a splash. They're too focused on protecting their reputation or position. The successful are willing to take gambles, be criticized, and be seen, knowing that regardless of outcome, they can always try again. Being unreasonable doesn't mean being mentally unstable. It means refusing to validate the sanity of reasonable actions that will never get you what you want. Every major advancement in human history came from someone doing something others labeled unreasonable. If you follow the reasonable path, you'll end up surviving on successful people's leftovers. The successful know money already exists in abundance and flows to those creating products, services, and solutions. They think in terms of generating wealth through exchange of ideas rather than earning salaries. Unlike the unsuccessful who focus on conserving funds, successful people understand wealth creation mechanisms. Above all, the highly successful take unbelievable amounts of action, rarely doing nothing, even on vacation. Whether through delegating, promoting their ideas, or grinding day and night, they consistently take high levels of action before anyone knows their names. Action is the single defining quality that separates the successful from everyone else. You must go all in on every action and fully commit to every opportunity. Grand claims, overcommitment, and extreme promises will immediately separate you from the masses and therefore force you to deliver at 10x levels. Most people approach opportunities with hesitation, waiting until they've figured everything out before committing. This cautious approach seems prudent, but actually creates more risk. By the time you feel ready, the opportunity has often passed or been seized by someone else. Committing first and figuring it out later stimulates creativity and problem-solving in ways that careful planning never will. When you're fully committed with no backup plan, your mind finds solutions it wouldn't otherwise discover. Small companies and entrepreneurs outmaneuver bigger competitors precisely because they commit first and completely. During economic contractions, most people reduce, save, and stay cautious. This defensive posture guarantees you'll never get what you want. While the majority contracts, a small percentage of people and companies capitalize by expanding, taking from those in retreat. Contracting violates the 10x rule, which demands massive action regardless of circumstances. Although it's counterintuitive to expand when others protect themselves, this approach seizes opportunity. Companies don't fail from expanding too fast, but from improper preparation. Constant expansion separates you from the pack more than any other activity. Most people attack only until meeting resistance, then back off, like challenging a schoolyard bully, then running away. Repeated attacks over extended periods will always succeed. Never follow the masses. Lead them. During the recent recession, while others cut staff and promotion, I increased both, cutting my own salary instead. I spent more on advertising, marketing, and promotion in 18 months than in 18 years. We expanded every resource, energy, creativity, persistence, and client contact. While the world withdrew, we published 3 books, introduced 4 new sales programs, produced 700-plus training segments, did 600 radio interviews, wrote 150-plus articles, and made thousands of calls. I'd rather die expanding than contracting. Your energy, creativity, and personality are worth more than printed dollars. Expand with the goal of dominating your sector until everyone, including competitors, knows you're the dominant 10x player. Once you gain traction with 10x actions, never rest. Keep adding wood until you start a brush fire, bonfire, or burn the place down.
Keep stacking wood until your fire burns so hot that neither competitors nor market changes can extinguish it. I'd rather die expanding than contracting. Your energy, creativity, and personality are worth more than printed dollars. Expand with the goal of dominating your sector until everyone, including competitors, knows you're the dominant 10x player. Once you gain traction with 10x actions, never rest. Keep adding wood until you start a brush fire, bonfire, or burn the place down. Keep stacking wood until your fire burns so hot that neither competitors nor market changes can extinguish it.